Good morning, everyone. Quick correction for Hannah. We are in Words to Live By in the series. Art of Wisdom is what the campus service is doing. I spoke there last week, and yeah, I don't have that talk with me, but if you guys would prefer, I could just roll it back. Wish I would have known way before I prepped for this talk, though. So glad that you guys are all here with us. This series has been so good. Joel kicked us off talking about the whole purpose of the book of 1 Peter. That's where we're going to be, and how it's about joy and suffering, both of those things, how they interplay, and how we can think about the beliefs that are behind our actions. And last week, Jay talked about brownies. I think he talked about other stuff too, but after he shared that, it was really hard to concentrate about anything else. I pushed through, and yeah, Jay talked about how in this world we will have suffering, but in it we can know, we will receive persecution even, and because of that, that people will see the face of Jesus. We know that people will see Jesus, and because of that, we can live in freedom from defensiveness. And we can have patience with people who are not Christians, even when they oppose us. And today, Peter takes a moment in the midst of talking about suffering, and he looks inward. He looks at the church. And so today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at how the instructions that Peter has for the church. Before we do that, I'm going to pray. Will you join me? Jesus, I thank you for today. Today is a gift you have given each of us, Lord, and I thank you. I'm appreciative of it, Lord. I pray today that you would help me, Lord, to just speak as though these words are coming from you, like our passage says. Lord, would you help me, just to communicate what you have for our church today? Just ask that you do that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are going to be in 1 Peter 4. If you want to open up your Bibles to that, starting in verse 7. If you don't own a Bible, we have free ones at the Info Center. We'd love for you to grab one. We believe that this is God's Word, the very words to live by, right? And so if you don't own one, please grab one as our gift to you. We would love for you to have it. If you know somebody else who doesn't have one, go ahead and take it. We're not like checking and, you know, checking your name off each time you grab one, okay? So we'd love for you to have that. So we're going to start 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of the world is coming soon. Okay. That is what Peter starts off his instructions to the church. He's looking inward now. And this is the pick-me-up he gives to the church, starts with. No, he says, the end of the world is coming soon. Do you believe that? If you're talking in the political realm, I think there are a lot of people that actually believe that that's where we are. And there are even more who thought that that's where we were the 8 years before that. But what Peter is talking about here is something that he and all of the early New Testament writers believed, that Jesus' return, it was imminent. It could happen at any moment. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 12. He says, the servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night, but just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And I included that last little bit there to show you, Peter was right there, he was engaged. Jesus said that I'm coming back and you don't know exactly when it's going to happen. You should be ready. And that stuck with Peter. He wrote this, the end of the world's coming soon. And like I said, this was a common belief. James, who would have also been at this conversation, you too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. John, dear children, the last hour is here. right? And Paul, he wouldn't have been at that conversation, but he believed it. It was that the Lord's return was imminent. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. So that is what Peter starts with. This is his motivation. Going on to the next slide. The end of the world is coming soon, therefore. Right? He intends us to be a motivator. So for those of you that have your Bibles open, please don't read ahead and shout out. What do you guys, we're going to be interactive a little bit, and this could fall flat on its face. That's all right. I've done announcements, and those have fallen flat on their face for about 12 years now, about one a week. So what would you guys say we should do in response to this news? That the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, what? Be ready. Have hope? Run. That's good. Live well. Pray. Make it count. Those are all great. One Homer J. Simpson would say that you should spend your kids' college fund and you should thaw that turkey now. No, but what Peter says, Carol actually mentioned it. He says, therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Right? And I've heard talks before where they say, you know, if you knew that that Jesus was coming back, like, next Tuesday, what would you do between now and then? And, like, you'd say your answer, like, super spiritual answer. And then the preacher's like, why aren't you doing that right now? Like, you feel guilty. And that's not the point of what Peter's saying. He's saying the Lord, he's coming at some point. We don't know when, but you should pray. Be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. And when I read that, I was challenged, actually. I was like, would those be two words that I would use to describe my prayer life? I think I'm kind of disciplined in it. I get distracted super easily. Am I earnest? Do I pray like I mean it all the time? I don't know if I do. How about for you guys? In light of knowing that Jesus could be back anytime, we're to pray. Will you seek to pray earnestly and in a disciplined way? Will you carve out time to just talk to God? You don't have to get caught up in what the right way to pray is. The Greek of that word, pray, it's not like a specific prayer. It's not, you know, make sure you do all of your confession prayers or make sure that you do all of your supplication prayer, which is a fancy word for asking for things. You know, it's just pray. Be earnest in this one. Believe that God is listening and pray. Okay? So there's more. That's not just it. Those aren't just, that's enough, I feel like. As I was praying and going through this, I was like, this could be a series itself. But we've got 25 minutes, so we're going to keep moving on. How many of you have been to school before? Most of you? Okay, good. Everybody? There's some babies in the back that have not. So I had this realization I was preparing. What I thought the purpose of school was to get done with school. And seriously, like, I've since learned that the purpose of school is to learn. But when you think that the purpose of school is to just get done with school, you get really good at taking tests, and you get really good at knowing what's going to be on those tests. And I say that because next, Peter says, most importantly. So if you were going to take a test, that would be the thing to write down. All right? When a teacher repeats something or they said, this is important, this might be on a test, that's when I would be like, okay, let's start paying attention and stop subgrouping in the back. So this, Peter says, this is most important, even more important than prayer. He says, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. He said, that is the most important thing that he has for us in this section. Another translation, the New English translation, says, Above all, keep your love for one another fervent. Fervent. I can't say that word. My wife, we were talking about this last night. I said it wrong about every other time. Fervent. Because you'd think it could be the word fervor also, but they're not the same word, and they are not combined together. So, fervent. We'll just go to the Greek word since I can't say the English one. It's ektenes. And what it literally means is stretched out, but that same expression is used as a metaphor in other non-biblical Greek areas as a horse at full gallop or a runner straining at the tape at the end of a race. And so what Peter is calling us to do is to have this kind of all-out love. About 8 or 9 years ago now, Greg Austin and I decided to do a couch to 5K. I've since gone back to the couch several different times. Couch to 5K to couch to 5K. That's kind of been my pattern. But this was our first one. And Greg was just, he's naturally just faster than I am at shorter distances. And so we decided we were going to run this thing together. And so we did. And I slowed down at several points. I was sure that Greg could have just kept going at a faster pace the whole time. But like a good friend, he stayed right there with me the whole time. And then we got to about the last 100 yards. And I ran track in high school. I also did football. And so like there was just a part of me that like just deep within me that knew at the last like 100 yards, like, this is go time. Like, it's time for all out. And so Greg, who was generously with me, I just leave him. Like, and I just go, right? And he starts coming behind me, but I think I didn't communicate that, hey, we're going to run really fast, at least for the last 100 yards. And so I edge him out at the tape. And I felt a little bad at the time, but I realized that Greg, there were lots of other skinny guys that had already crossed the finish line, but I had a chance to be top five for the Clydesdale division. And so now you're wondering, was he talking about running a race or was it the horse galloping? I'm not sure. That story fits both so well. And fits nothing all at the same time. No, that is the, like, if you've run all out, you know that it's exhausting, right? But Peter's saying, hey, the finish line is near. We don't know when the end is, but you should go, you should love all out. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means in a minute, but the purpose of loving all out is because love covers a multitude of sins. And this is actually, it comes from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all transgressions. Right? And what this means, it's not about, like, hey, if you love people well, then your sin is covered. No, that's not how it works. Our sin, my sin, it can only be covered by Jesus at the cross. Do not be confused by this, okay? I don't want somebody here thinking, hey, I don't really have to trust Jesus. As long as I love people, my sin is covered. And that is not true. The only solution to your personal sin is the cross of Jesus Christ. Right? Revelation 1, 5 says, all glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. The blood of Jesus is what covers our personal sins. No, but what Peter is talking about is that if we are loving all out, if we are loving with reckless abandon, then our sin, our love, it's easier to cover the sin of others. And what I mean by that is that it is quicker for us to overlook. It's quicker for us to forgive. And we draw each other and point each other towards Jesus, towards that love. The cross of Christ is the why behind it. That is the reason that we can love all out, because he loved us with reckless abandon, going to the cross. Right? And we had the church summit last Sunday. I'm not sure how many people were there. I actually sat in the front row, and I had to leave early to go preach at EMU, which was fun, but I was bummed that I had to miss the end of it. I sat in the front row. I had no idea how many people were here until I got up to leave. And I was responsible for getting the communion bread, and my first thought was, we're going to run out of communion bread, but it's awesome that there's so many people here, right? We, as pastors, we wanted to share some of the mistakes that we have made in the last several years, and we got to hear Carrie's story as well, and it was powerful. And if you're still reeling from that, if that brought up stuff, that we want to care for you, we want to love you. So contact one of us, grab one of us, email us. You can go to our website there. You can email all of us or one of us, and it'd be fine, right? But as I was thinking, we believe that Jesus covered our sins, and so we can do that. But we also believe that in doing that, in sharing those things, we can demonstrate, we love you guys. We love the church. And it pains us deeply when we hurt because of our sins. I've been thinking as I've been preparing, and I actually got emotional a few times as I thought about this, is I would love New Life Church to be known as a place that's safe for broken and messed up people to come, because there are broken and messed up people here. But in the same breath, do people know that they come here and they will be loved? They will be forgiven by others. And we will point each other to Jesus. If we do that, one, our church is going to be amazing. And I think we do that. But how much more can we do it? How much more all out can we love? But the world will take notice. Jesus said this in John 13. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The world's going to notice, and they're going to wonder about Jesus if they see our love for each other. And so these are our words to live by for this week. Love covers a multitude of sins. I almost tripped and fell in the front row right there. Will you love all out? Will you forgive people that really have no business being forgiven? Will you try to overlook their sins? And if you can't, bring them to them. Right? It is loving to bring sins to people so that they can repent of those before the Lord. Will you love in a way that it covers a multitude of sins? And the rest of this section, actually, that Peter's writing, it's about living this out. He gives us some very practical instructions on how to live it out. Okay? So 1 Peter 4:9. It says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Cheerfully do that. Like, want to have people in your home. And as I was preparing for this, I was convicted a little bit about it. Because I think Sarah and I, we like having people over to our house. And I don't know that I always cheerfully do that. I do it because I kind of feel like I should sometimes. And then we don't do it as often as we'd like, because we have three small children who are in the process of destroying our home. They're here now, or else they'd be at home working on it right now. So I feel like I've got to have my home all together before I can really show somebody hospitality. And that's not true. Invite people into your home. Let them see you. Let them see your real life. It's a way to love them. We're in the middle of our we're trying to discern what God would have for us as a church for the next 10 years. And we had several things that we called dream sessions Many of you guys came and shared your dreams for New Life Church and that. And one of the things that came up time and time again is that we wanted more interaction between the campus side and the city side of things. And I think that this is one of the keys to doing that, is opening your homes. Students, they don't have homes. Many of them eat things out of boxes every single day. Or I guess ramen is in plastic, it's not a box. Right? Opening your home, letting them come in, letting them see your life, your family, giving them a meal. I think this is going to be one of the keys going forward. Will you practice hospitality? Will you do it cheerfully? Okay, Peter goes on. He says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. I'm going to stop right there just a second. Use them well to serve one another, right? God has given you a spiritual gift. And if you don't believe that, that's okay. We're going to actually go to that slide now, Alex. If you go to newlifea2.org/masterpiece, we have some folks that have put some awesome resources together to help you discover how God has made you. Go and check that out. You have spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve the body, to love one another through your service. Okay, can you go back to that? Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Right? And I don't know if this is what Peter intended, but as I read that, I thought he is breaking down spiritual gifts into basically two categories. I know you can read that, and he specifically names helping and teaching. But as I read it, I was like, he's kind of, this is just from me. I don't know if I even found it in the commentary. He's breaking down spiritual gifts into talking or not talking. And that seemed like a safe category because those are two, like if you're talking, that's one thing. And if you're not talking, that is another thing. And sometimes you can do not talking and talking things at the same time. But I think he's breaking it down. And he's saying, if one of your spiritual gifts, let's say you have the gift of encouragement, speak as though God has given you the gift or giving you the words to encourage somebody else. Because he may have. Don't doubt the Holy Spirit. If he's given you a gift that involves not speaking, do that in the Lord's strength. That it will allow you to actually do that in an all-out sort of way. And I'm not talking, we're not bringing back roadies. The building's fine. Some of you don't even know what Roadies is, which is awesome because we've actually been in the building now for like 10 years. Roadies, we used to have to carry all our equipment every week, and it would have been helpful to do it in the strength that the Lord provides. No, it's God's strength that allows you to pour out because he is filling you up. It allows you to love in an all-out sort of way because you're not worried that your strength will be depleted or deplenished because God is providing that strength. See, these are the ways that Peter lays out for us to be hospitable and to serve one another well. That's how he wants us to love all out. In doing those things, he says, we'll cover a multitude of sins. And the reason that we do all of these things is not because, like I said, that I want New Life Church to be this awesome place. We do it because it will glorify God. That's how Peter actually ends this section. It's all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. And you can read that and think, I didn't even know we were praying. A couple of people thought that was funny. I thought that was funny. Right? Peter says, we do these things. We live this way as a church because it brings glory to the name of God. And in the midst of suffering and persecuting and people hating the church, our goal is still to bring glory to God. So those are our words to live by. Love covers a multitude of sins. Jesus' love for us covered the world's sins, covered anyone who would come to him. He takes their sin, and he took it, and he put it on the cross. And today, it's a communion Sunday. And that's what we remember. We remember that Christ took our sin, he did it on the cross, I'm going to read from John 13. If I was smart, I would have marked it ahead of time. But I just tried to get through school, so. Jesus says in John 13, right before he shared the new commandment to love one another, he says, the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into the glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will soon give glory to the Son. Dear children, I will be with you for only a little longer, and as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come where I'm going. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus entered into glory by going to the cross. He did it for us to show his love, to demonstrate it. He did it as the Word of God, completely dependent on the Father, so that our sins will be covered. And so today, I'm going to pray in just a moment. We invite you to come to the table. Remember what it is that Christ did for you. Take the bread, which is symbolic of Christ's body that was broken for us. Dip it in the juice, which is symbolic of the blood that he shed for us so that we could be clean. And during this time, the band's going to play. We're going to sing and worship him because he's worthy forever and ever. We'll also have prayer ministers up front and in the back and in the back of the balcony as well. If you need somebody, if you want to pray with somebody, I just encourage you to do that. Grab somebody. Don't, if you think, yeah, maybe I do want prayer this week, don't just hesitate. Do it. Okay? Let us love in a way all out that covers a multitude of the sins of the people in this room. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these words to live by, Lord, that we can love in a way that lays down our life, love in a way that would cover over the sins that would be committed against us by those here in this church, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in that way. You'd help us to have a love like that. Lord, I know as we do that, the world will take notice, because there's something that is missing outside. Lord, would you provide it? Lord, we thank you as we do come to the table. Jesus, we just praise you and thank you. We do not deserve what you did for us, Lord. But in your grace, you gave it to us just the same. We love you and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.